earth, and sky.
I think that there's going to be a lot of lessons learned, good or bad, from deep water spill like this. The visible oil is what people see, but the results of that visible oil last for many years, and that's what people don't necessarily think about.
You're listening to biological oceanographer Nancy Rabelais, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Rabelais is executive director of the Louisiana University's Marine Consortium, and she's an expert on what's happened since the April 2010 explosion on an oil rig that sent crude oil gushing into the Gulf of Mexico. Dr. Rabelais spoke more about the impact and cleanup of the Gulf oil spill with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Rabelais, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. Good to be here, I think.
Now, what's happening right now in response to the Gulf oil spill?
Well, as far as I can tell right now, the oil, of course, is still coming out in an estimated 200,000 gallons per day, and I suspect that's actually a low estimate. It's coming to the surface. You can see on lots of visualizations that it's moving around, and the slick is getting larger, and much of it is coming in close to the Louisiana coast, and some of it has actually already penetrated the Louisiana coast and oiled some salt marsh habitat, and there's also, looks like some of it may be heading north towards Mississippi-Alabama coast, and given our persistent southeasterly winds in the spring, some of it looks like it might be getting into the delta itself, and potentially it could move west of the delta, depending on, you know, how much more oil and how long.
Tell us about cleaning up the oil spill. Can an oil spill like this really be cleaned up?
Well, not entirely. The oil will penetrate into habitats that it's difficult to get the oil out of. The marshes are a particularly good example because you can't just get to them by boat. You can't get to them by land. Helicopter, I guess you could, but there's just too much marshland involved. So there will be some oiling that can't be easily removed without doing further damage to the marsh. Now, there are, I was involved in an oil spill in Texas in a salt marsh similar to the Mississippi River, and there were places where you could get in and clip grass, clip the oil off, and use absorbent pads to get the oil out, but you have to be careful how much that you do because you can damage the marsh. There were areas that were burned. It removes the oil, but there was some long-term permanent damage of the marshes in that area. And then there were other areas that were heavily oiled that got no remediation, and those marshes died back for a couple of years. Took a while for them to recover. But eventually oil does degrade. The toxic fractions do are removed through natural processes, oxidation and photo degradation and things like that, microbial decomposition. It's just they're not something that's going to go away overnight, for sure, or even in a couple of years.
Right now, there's a lot of migrating wildlife, I'd like your thoughts on the major impacts of this oil spill to both people and wildlife.
Right. Well, of course, wildlife are going to be affected. Offshore now, there are spawning fish. Their eggs and larvae usually live in the surface waters, so if they're exposed, that would be a setback for those populations. The nursery areas are the marshes, and many of the fish that live in the offshore Gulf of Mexico depend on the marshes for rearing of young and protective of young while they grow up. Most of the fish species and the brown shrimp, the white shrimp, pink shrimp, blue crab, they all depend on the estuaries as habitat nursery grounds. So any oiling or loss of that vegetation right now would be a setback for any grow out and larval recruitment into those areas, which could affect eventually the long-term population growth of whichever organism has been exposed. It's hard to say exactly what the end result is going to be in pounds of fish lost or pounds of shrimp not captured or, you know, acres of marshland that has a, 2-3 year setback, especially when erosion is such an issue in Louisiana to start with. It's difficult to say, and one thing I think that we need to be careful is not say it's an Armageddon, but not ignore it. Somewhere in between, we have to be reasonable about what we can do and then do our best to stop it and then do our best to help restore and recuperate those habitats.
Right. So in addition to some of these commercial fish stocks and the shrimp, there's reports of the Ridley turtles, these large turtles that are washing up right now and other fish that are being affected.
This time of the year is a big migration period for sea turtles and also nesting on beaches. Some of the prime nesting areas are in South Texas and in Mexico for the Ridleys. Along Mississippi, Alabama, they will the offshore islands, they'll get loggerheads this time of the year, maybe some green turtles. So if those beaches are oiled, of course, it will affect the turtles coming in to lay their eggs. I'm not sure what that would do to the turtle itself. The eggs hopefully would be placed in an area that's clean because they don't do it right at the shoreline. They move up onto the berm of the beach to lay their eggs in their nest. There's a lot of marine mammals out there that move around, migrate all times of the year. There's a high number, actually, of mammals, marine mammals, that are out in the area of the spill, particularly a population of sperm whales that we didn't really realize were out there until maybe 5-6 years ago when we started looking. When we started doing deeper water exploration, one of the environmental impact assessments was the location of marine mammals in that area, and we found that there are indeed quite a few marine mammals with lots of varieties, including the sperm whales that inhabit that area.
And I'd like to get back to something you said earlier about how this isn't quite a complete destruction of all life there, but it's pretty bad somewhere in the middle there. Will, tell us your thoughts on will wildlife recover from the oil spill, and what do you think the recovery might look like in the coming days, weeks, and the months, years?
Well, I think recovery would be more in terms of years, because the wildlife haven't actually been that affected right now, except for things that are offshore, just in the water column. And we don't actually know what's happened to them at this point, but I do know that if, you know, a marsh is heavily oiled and it dies back, especially when it's in the growing season, it's going to take a couple of years for that marsh to become healthy again. So I think we're talking years for recovery. And depending on the species, some have what's called a high recruitment. They produce lots of larvae, lots of eggs, and those organisms have a better chance at taking back their habitat, like a blue crab puts out thousands of larvae. And many of them get back to the nursery area, and as long as we don't lose a lot of live spawning female blue crabs right now, then eventually, you know, we'll have a comeback after, you know, some of them within a year, some of them a couple of years. And, you know, we've had many endangered species on the list in Louisiana from either DDT or overhunting, and it takes a concerted effort. You have to stop hunting alligators. You have to provide habitat to brown pelicans so that they can recover from DDT being in their eggs. And eventually, over time, if you help these organisms, you can help the recovery. It's just if there's no help, no concerted effort to try to replace habitat, remove oil, things like that, it could take a lot longer. But I'm worried about the ability to do it. I'm not worried about the need and the intent to try to do as much as possible to remove the oil and save habitat and wildlife.
Tell us more about this lasting impact to wildlife and people from the Gulf oil spill, even after the oil is off the shores. What's the lasting impact there, do you think?
The lasting impact is that we will over many years, you know, the beaches will recover. They'll have clean sand on them again. You might not be able to tell after 20 years that particular marsh was heavily oiled. It's a different time trajectory depending on the habitat and the amount of oiling and the toxicity of the oil. As far as people, Louisiana fisheries production and oil and gas development have worked hand in hand for the last 40, 50 years. And so some people, you know, shrimp during the shrimping season and work offshore during the non-shrimping season. So they get their income from both places. And right now they're looking to find their income from trying to battle the oil spill because some of the fishing grounds have been closed, some of the oyster harvesting grounds have been closed. And that's more of a precaution right now, which I think is very important because we don't want to get tainted seafood on the market. But we also don't want to close everything west of the river right now because we anticipate something might happen because those habitats have not been affected right now. And there's still a livelihood to be made from, you know, blue crabs, shrimp, oysters west of the river.
You've been listening to Nancy Rabelais, Executive Director of the Louisiana University's Marine Consortium. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.